Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're pleased to welcome Michael Duarte, who gets really excited, too. And so I love this about Michael. Whenever we have him on the show, whenever I follow you on Twitter, Michael, I feel your excitement coming through the phone, coming through the computer. He covers the Dodgers, the Rams, other LA teams for NBC LA and was at the game. So what was that like? What was that atmosphere like when Chris Taylor walked off?
Yeah, that excitement was the unbiased sports journalist in me, not the LA born and raised Dodger fan in me. It was a great moment, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of people had kind of given up on Chris Taylor this season. He has a team high 166 strikeouts this year. That's 20 more than anyone else on the team. He's struggled a lot this year after that breakout season he had in 2017. So when he comes up as the second batter there in the bottom of the 10th and Justin Turner's in the on-deck circle, a lot of people are like, well, if Chris Taylor can get on or something, you know, Justin Turner can bring him in. I don't think anybody expected Chris Taylor would hit his first career walk-off, especially against a guy like Adam Ottavino, who he's also struggled against and who's been very successful this year. So when he did that, this place erupted. There are some smart fans out here in Los Angeles, despite the contradictions to that point and the stereotypes that come with it. But they know the implications of winning this game and guaranteeing that they will still be in first place no matter what happens tomorrow as they head into this weekend series with San Diego.
This was a tug of war. There was really not a whole lot of breathing room in this game. It was a tug of war. It was very different than the first game of the series between the Dodgers and the Rockies, in which they had, what, four runs in the third inning or something like that.
Correct.
And this was back and forth, back and forth. How tense was it until Taylor hit that home run?
It was very tense. It was indicative of most of the playoff games you see where the margin for error is so razor thin that any play can go either way. So Justin Turner, early in the game, misplays a routine ground ball to third that allows the first Colorado Rockies run to score with two outs that ties the game. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh. And then the tying, then they take a 2-1 lead after Blackman's home run. And then the Dodgers end up tying the game on an uncharacteristic play by Nolan Arenado. He flips it to the shortstop covering third base. It goes down the left field line, and the tying run scores. So, you know, little mistakes like that can turn it either way. But the biggest difference was the Dodgers' bullpen was absolutely lights out, pitched phenomenally tonight. That's Kenta Maeda, Kenley Jansen, Dylan Floro, and Scott Alexander. And then the Rockies' bullpen was kind of matching him inning for inning there until Adam Ottavino gives up that home run.
What's different about the Dodgers right now? Because there were, you know, there were stretches over the course of the last couple of months where they scuffled either the bullpen or the bats weren't showing up when they needed them. What tells you they've turned the corner and they're prepared now for the postseason?
Well, I mean, I think they're prepared for the postseason no matter what. This is a team that's won five consecutive NOS division titles. They're looking for their sixth right now with 10 games left to play. They have the experience, and I think in games like this, games with big magnitude to them and attached to them, they tend to rise to the occasion as they did a couple weeks ago against Arizona when Arizona was in first place and they come to Dodger Stadium and they take three or four, as they did against St. Louis when they're tied in the wild card and they take three or four. They tend to rise to those moments. It's those games against the last place Reds or the last place Mets or, you know, maybe the Padres in last place coming to town that bother you. But overall, they've started to pick it up, as you said. They've won 17 of 24 since August 24th. They're 9-3 at home during that span, so they're going to look to finish up at home here with their final three games this weekend. And I think they're starting to turn a corner. They've been playing like it's playoff baseball the last 2 weeks or so, and hopefully that continues on.
Michael Duarte is fresh off the Dodgers and Rockies game that went into extra innings with the walk-off home run for Chris Taylor. He covers the Dodgers, the Rams, and other LA sports for NBC LA. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I remember talking about the Dodgers going 0-6 against the Reds until they finally won a game against them. But how frustrating is that for Dave Roberts that they have actually lost a bunch of games against teams that they should beat, if you look at the standings anyway?
It's very frustrating because you kind of know your team is better than what's going on the field. There could be two reasons for those disappointments against the Mets and Reds. One of them is kind of the obvious, which is the Dodgers have stacked up their pitching rotation the last few weeks here so that they are pitching Kershaw, Walker Buehler, and Rich Hill, the guys that would likely be 1-2-3 in any playoff series, in these bigger series, in the series against Arizona, in the series against the Cardinals, and in the series here against the Rockies, which means your fourth and fifth starters, the Hyunjin Ryu, who's been pitching pretty well of late, or Alex Wood, who's been struggling, Ross Stripling, who filled in against the Cardinals, those guys are the guys who you would feature more in those Red series or the Met series. That could be one byproduct of it. As far as the Red series is concerned, they were struggling when they got swept by them the first time in the year. This last time when they lost 2 of 3, there wasn't a lot of people in the stands there for that Red series. Mm. A couple of those games were early day games. And I wonder, after coming off such highs and adrenaline rushes in some bigger series, if you go to a scenario like that where it's a little bit more relaxed, if it's hard to kind of get up and focus in those games. And I think that might play into it a little bit as well.
How does the pitching rotation stack up? Should they avoid the wild card game?
If you avoid the wild card game, that would most likely, obviously things can still change, but it's looking most likely that it would be a first round NLDS matchup with the Atlanta Braves, which I think with their youth and inexperience bodes well for the Dodgers in that series. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is your ace. You're throwing him game one no matter what. Game two after that is where it gets interesting, and I think you're going to see the front office brain trust look at statistics, look at home and away records of some of these starting pitchers to decide if it would be Rich Hill in a game two or maybe a rookie like Walker Buehler, who I think has ascended to that number two role on this team. And would probably potentially, I mean, he's pitched well anyways, but he might do better pitching at home than, say, in a smaller stadium out in Atlanta, and maybe you pitch Rich Hill in that game. But either, I think those are 1, 2, and 3. The fourth starter is your big question mark. Alex Wood has just been moved to the bullpen. You can kind of see that as a demotion. His chances of being on the playoff roster, if the Dodgers make it now, are fading. I think your fourth starter in a playoff series, and you might not need it in an NLDS, but if you go and advance further, you would. That would be either Hyunjin Ryu or Ross Stripling, who was an all-star at the beginning of the year and is beginning to get built back up as a starter. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see, of those two guys, who they might think about naming the fourth starter.
How is Manny Machado fitting in?
As far as the clubhouse, Machado's fitting in great. I just talked to him just now about his fantasy football team. The Dodgers invited him to their high-stakes fantasy football team this year, which has been won by Farhan Zaidi, the general manager, 3 years in a row. But that's kind of good. That's when you fit in, when you're bonding. They had a big draft party at Clayton Kershaw's house when they went down to Dallas to play the Texas Rangers for a couple games. And, you know, Machado's a big football guy. Yeah, I think he liked the fact that he was invited to this. He also drafted A.J. Green, who had 3 touchdowns on Thursday night, so he won this week in a blowout, so he's excited. But he's sandwiched in the locker room between Kenley Jansen and Matt Kemp, and those guys are like the Three Musketeers. They're always hanging out and getting along and having fun and poking fun at each other, and they're very loose and relaxed. So I think clubhouse-wise, he's really enjoying it. Probably a little bit of a struggle for him offensively in the National League Stadium at Dodger Stadium here. He's not used to, not hitting as many home runs as he was in Baltimore in the first half of the season and earlier in his career. But he is starting to get used to it, and he had his 51st multi-hit game tonight. So he's still the same old Machado as far as his ability on the field. But, you know, it'll take some time to get used to, if he stays in the National League at least, this stadium and some of these pitchers and smaller parks here in the National League.
Michael Duarte of NBC LA with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Just to do a pivot here really quick before I let you go, how much excitement is there?
The Ross from Friends pivot?
Yes. In fact, that's my vision that I always see and hear every time I use that word. I won't yell it just because it's scary when I do. How excited are fans about the Rams and their start?
Great question. The Rams bandwagon, for all your listeners, Amy, is open. Anybody is more than willing to hop on board and join, including Raiders fans out there. But The NFL rankings just came out by ESPN, by NFL.com, and they have the, you know, the power rankings they come out with every week. They have the Rams number one right now ahead of Jacksonville, and that's getting a lot of people excited. I say temper those expectations right now. I don't necessarily think the Raiders and the Cardinals are the best of competition they'll face. I'm looking forward to this battle for L.A. coming up on Sunday against the Chargers at the Coliseum. The Chargers, they're in the upper echelon as far as, I would say, the higher half of teams out there. They're above 500 team, I think they'll be this season. So that'll give you a better gauge of how the Rams are and how they stack up. I mean, if they can blow out the Chargers, then look out. They are definitely for real. But the biggest thing was Aqib Talib, cornerback for the Rams, who they traded for in the offseason. I was talking to him after this last win, this 34-0 shutout over the Cardinals, and he said, there's a bunch of alpha dogs on this team, right? A bunch of alpha dogs with different personalities. Mm. He says, when you get all these alpha dogs in the same room, one of two things is going to happen. They're all going to battle and fight for each other, and it's going to go really bad. They're all going to get along and have swag and want to show off to other people, and it's going to go great. And he says, so far through two games, that's the latter that's happening. It's going absolutely great with these alpha dogs. So hopefully that continues. But you do kind of see that throughout, and they are kind of feeding off of each other. Mm. So health is the biggest concern, as you saw with Greg Zuerlein going down and having to have your punter Johnny Hecker fill in as a field goal kicker. But as long as they stay healthy, I think they're going to be really tough to beat.
I'm telling you, Wade Phillips is the huge key to that. The alpha dogs all falling in line. He is the man. You can find Michael on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte, D-U-A-R-T-E. He's an L.A. native, which makes this a perfect job for him. He covers the Dodgers, the Rams, other L.A. sports team for NBC L.A. It's always good
to
catch.
And the Lakers.
Oh, and the Lakers, yes.
Don't mean to interrupt.
It's coming.
The Lakers this year. It's
what about the Clippers?
Year.
No, not them.
No, we're switching over to Lakers this year. It'll be my first year covering the Lakers,
sweet.
So I'm excited about being on LeBron Watch 24/7.
All right, well, we'll be talking to you even more then. It's always good to catch up with you, Michael. Thank you so much.
You too, Amy. Enjoy Space City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.